Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, let's get into today's 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. Jeff, we've had about a solid week of NFL free agency and trades and a lot of moves getting made. So let's start with Cam Newton today. All right, mm-hmm. He has been unceremoniously released.
Adios.
By the Carolina Panthers. It is questionable his health, how much he has left. So for Newton, mm-hmm. Where is a spot you think would be a good landing spot for him? And do you think he has at this point anything really to offer where he could make the difference for some franchise?
I think the second part is the key. And as you've pointed out, it's hurting him that there's not that opportunity for teams to really take a look at him. I thought Chicago made sense for him, but they got Foles. So with that door open, maybe just going down the road to Jacksonville would make the best sense. But, you know, the thing with Cam is, as destructive as he was as a player, it probably wasn't a good idea when he said, all these fans are mad about me dancing. When I say come out and do something about it. Well, guess what happened the year after that? Something was done about it. And I think he could come in and maybe be a missing piece. But what would probably be better for him would be to go somewhere and maybe spend a year as the backup quarterback to get healthy. But we also know in the NFL, whatever that noise may be, teams generally don't like noisy backup quarterbacks / expensive backup quarterbacks.
What about the Chargers, where right now it appears Tyrod Taylor is their starter?
The Chargers have got to do something. And I think they've got too much talent there to be in the tanking for Trevor Poole. So I think that would be a fit for him as well. One thing, too, about the Chargers and Jags, both of those franchises play in warm weather spots, which I think when you've got a body that's broken down some, I think the warm weather is certainly a plus, especially in a league that plays around half of its games in cold weather.
I'll say this for Newton. Up until around, because I had him 2 years ago, he was my fantasy quarterback, so I paid close attention to him. He was having a heck of a season until they went on a Thursday night game in like mid to late November. They went and played at Pittsburgh, and he got hit by, I think it was J.J. Watt's brother, right in that shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And basically then, for the rest of that year, he was off, and they ended up shutting him down at the end of the season. And then they came back last year, and he still wasn't right. But as recently as 2018, he was hitting like at the MVP level that he had played at when they went to the Super Bowl back in, I guess, what was that, 2015?
Right.
So it's not that far removed, but it's the shoulder that's the biggest question. But if somehow he was able to show that this time off he's gotten healed, I think he definitely has a chance to still have something. And if you're you have Jacksonville, you mentioned, is a good spot because you've got, Gardner Minshew is mm-hmm. seemingly the quarterback there now. And I guess with the Chargers, you'd have Tyrod Taylor. And I just wonder with both those franchises now in L.A. that they're about to move into this new stadium. And there's absolutely zero star power on either of those teams.
Yeah, and especially with Gurley being gone now in Atlanta. So as you pointed out, last week, you're about to go into that new stadium with the two quarterbacks, Tyrod Taylor and Jared Goff.
Yeah. All right, moving on in the 5 at 5. We'll stick with the NFL. Who gets to a Super Bowl again? Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, or neither?
Neither.
Wow. It's over for Bill Belichick, too, huh?
The odds of getting back, and especially with Mahomes at Kansas City and Lamar Jackson at Baltimore. And plus, even though Jackson hasn't won one, his coach, John Harbaugh, has. Andy Reid's now won one. So you don't really have this albatross, this is King Kong on their backs, and you've still got Deshaun Watson in that conference too. You would think the path would certainly be a bit clearer in the NFC, but you know Brady's clearly at the end of the road. I mean, he's the player. Suppose if Belichick was going to coach Tampa and he had a good quarterback, I think Belichick would be the answer. But to me, the answer here is D, none of the above.
Well, yeah, I mean, Brady does have a pretty narrow window here.
Right.
And I don't know how much longer Bill Belichick wants to coach. There probably is some ego at play there now, or like, I'm sure he probably would love to actually get to a Super Bowl without Tom Brady, and then you're not just going to always have that connection there where it's, well, Brady made Belichick, or even the other side when it comes to Brady, is that Belichick made him. But I know when Belichick was the coach of the Cleveland Browns, they had one 11-5 season and won one playoff game, then lost one. So he coached a grand total of two playoff games without Tom Brady and had one winning season without Tom Brady.
Yeah, that is not very good, is it?
No, but he was the coach of the at the time it was the they were the Browns, but
were they heading in the right direction?
I don't think so, because his last year there he got canned. They were 5-11, weren't they?
Yeah, so maybe it looked like they were for a year or two, and then, well, they weren't.
Yeah. Well, they had that, yeah, they had one good little spell there. And
hey, that's something we could talk to Eric Zier about. That he was playing for Cleveland back then.
Yeah, so he would have been on those teams where it's Saban and Belichick, huh?
Yeah.
Wow. And both of them.
I'd also like to get John Brantley on here to recount his 1 year with the Houston Oilers when Nick Saban was their secondary coach.
Yeah, and he got beaten up by one of his players, or at least got into a fight with one of them, which I would assume mean he got beaten up by him. But
I'd probably take Keith Bostic at that one, yeah.
Yeah, I would probably go with that too on that front. All right, moving on then. Let's stick with some NFL, all this free agency, the Falcons, the moves that they have made. What's the best move so far? What's the worst that they've done?
Well, I think the best move they've made is getting a premier back in here in Todd Gurley. But obviously the caveat is how healthy is he? And, you know, if he is even close to form, that should make that passing attack all the more better. You know, and I think you made a good point with Dante Fowler. I don't want to say it's the worst, but you almost feel like they've just swapped an underachiever for an underachiever. So, you know, amongst the headlining moves, I'm just going to kind of go out on a limb here, Chris, and just say the hardest thing or the worst move is just going back and admitting draft mistakes with Trufant and Beasley, you know, to pile on with Robert Alford, and most likely they're going to soon be in that same boat with Tack McKinley.
Yeah, I think the 3 years and $48 million for Fowler, you know, given what they just, a guy who was drafted the same year as Beasley and has had a similar career, except their great season, Fowler's coming off his best season, whereas Beasley's, I guess, was in his second year.
Is that in the Super Bowl season?
The Super Bowl 16, season, yeah. In 2016. So it seems like a lot to throw in there for a guy that you could argue is basically, essentially, the player you just tired of and moved past. I like the Hayden Hurst in there to replace
pickup,
Austin Hooper for a second round pick was a solid acquisition too.
Yeah, and that was one of those, obviously, with Hooper being gone, there was a hole there that needed to be filled. And, you know, hopefully Hurst can have similar results. But I liked Hooper a lot. I mean, I thought he was terrific. Hurst was obviously great at South Carolina. But, you know, that's you're talking about, you know, losing a lot of production, what they've done in their careers with Hooper and with Devontae Freeman. And you know, hopefully Hurst and Gurley can fill those roles. I'm with you, too, though. If some way, and I really like Edwards-Helaire from LSU, I mean, if he's there for them in the second round, I think that'd be a good pickup for Atlanta.
Yeah, I think the Falcons could still use another solid back because, I mean, Gurley's going to have to be on load
he's
management.
On a pitch count, man.
Yeah, he's going to have to be. He can't be, you know, he's not going to be a 20, 25 carry a game kind of back for you. But
well, you hope if he is, you hope it's in January.
Yeah, well then you're fine then. But
correct.
I mean, to me, overall though, it's It does two things. It's low risk. They're not paying them a ton, and it's gotten some people excited.
Big time.
To bring Gurley back into the state, but it's just a big question about how healthy he can be with that knee.
Yep.
Oh, you know, you mentioned Patrick Mahomes there too. I guess he could be a candidate for our for our relative list, but he'd top his dad. But his dad pitched in the big leagues for a while.
Yeah, his dad was really good.
So
you know, we had his baseball card. That's a good call.
So there's another one though, where the father takes a backseat to the son.
Take that, Dad. Yeah. These guys in Athens voted me way ahead of you.
Easily.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even now, some dad wins. Oh, what, you got Philip Dorsett? Wasn't he a first-round pick? Was that Tony's son or nephew?
Ooh, I want to say maybe just a nephew.
I think that's right, too.
Yeah, how many? I guess the Bobby Hall wins. There's one dad over the son.
But the son, I mean, you could at least make an argument there. But, yeah, dad wins.
I'm. You know, it really is it's strange to me that there aren't any really great options in golf. Like you mentioned the Haases. What about the Stadlers?
Yeah, and then you had, I think, J.C. and Ed Snead might have been a nephew to Sam Snead. But there's not that, you know, obviously, and I mean, just carrying the name Nicholas. No, there really hasn't been that just phenomenal. That the teacher, Butch Harmon, his father, Claude, won the Masters. But again, as far as actual players go, there's not really that guy. Julius Boros, who won three majors, his daughter actually played here at Georgia, which was kind of cool.
Yeah. But, well, you've got old and young Tom Morris.
That would be the best one.
I guess so, yeah.
Old Tom and old Tom.
So who's better between them?
Well, old Tom won five Britishes and young Tom won four. Young Tom actually passed away before old Tom did.
Oh.
But yeah, not to bring you down. But no, I would think young Tom would be the golf answer. Because when you, let's just run through the old, you're talking like Varden, Hagen, Sarazen, Snead, Hogan, Nelson, Palmer, Nicholas, Watson, now on up into him, Tiger and all. Now is really not, and again, you know, they're like Sam Saunders, he's a good player, but you know, it's not like he's won a major. I don't even think he's ever won a tournament.
Yeah. Like, there's not even, are there even any siblings?
I guess you had Lanny and Bobby Watkins.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but if you're talking about when Lanny won a PGA, no, there's not that just real standout out there.
Now, you did used to have the power couple Ray Knight and Nancy Lopez.
Yes, you do.
So
I mean, Ray Knight, I mean, we all know about him, and Nancy Lopez, one of the greatest women's golfers ever. Does that count, though, if they're divorced?
Oh, no, I guess not.
Yeah, but that's a good one. That was a definite power couple. I mean, that was a cool thing.
That is, it's odd, though, that, I don't know, for some reason you would think golf might be one where you'd have some obvious at least father-son connections and maybe even siblings, but there's just nothing that stands out.
No, I mean, and you know, you get things too, like Justin Thomas's dad was a pro. Obviously, Davis Love III, his father was the pro at Sea Island. But, you know, as far as success on tour, again, you have had guys who've had careers and who have won tournaments. Again, mentioned in somebody like, say, JC or Ed Snead. But when it's, yeah, Sam Saunders, but yeah, just as far as ultra success, but you'd probably have to say Bill Haas. Now, Jay was a terrific player, one of the best players that never won a major. And, you know, Bill won that tour championship with that shot out of the lake there at East Lake.
Yeah, that's who I was. Because Bill's the son and Jay is the dad. I was thinking it was Jay that had done that. But no, Bill, yeah, Bill just won the tour championship. That wasn't that long ago.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. I mean, it was within the last 7-8 years.
Yeah. So they'd probably be the one. But
yeah. I mean, unless we're just missing somebody obvious.
I mean, which is possible, like the Venus and Serena Williams. Hey, how about Patrick and John McEnroe?
Well, that's a good one, too.
Oh, well, there's Venus and Serena. Oh, yeah, that's right.
By the way, Jeremy and Natalie also. Anybody mention the Harbaughs? We hadn't gotten into the coaching yet. Jim was a very good quarterback, but we hadn't gotten into the coaching yet.
No, the Harbaughs are good. The other coach combination I thought of would be Wade and Bum Phillips.
Yes. And then the Harbaugh's father was a longtime coach too, Jack Harbaugh.
Yeah, but it probably has to go to the Harbaughs. They were brothers that made it to the Super Bowl against each other.
Oh, for sure. But I'm gonna tell you, to RDU Dog, the Fridge and Michael Dean is a great one.
That is a solid one, yeah.
That was Sweetness. It was Jarrett Payton. Is that his?
That was his son who played at Miami, but yeah. he was only like a backup running back even there.
Right, but I mean that stuff usually it's very rare that you have an all time great followed by an all time great. I mean that's what the closest that you would come to father and son both being all time elite would be Archie and Payton.
Yeah, in football.
Oh, and Dave just sent me this. I didn't know this, but former Masters champion Bob Golby is the Haas's uncle, so he must be married to Jay's sister.
All right, well, I guess the Haas's win then.
Yeah, for sure. And Bob Golby, he would have been in a playoff if not. He was the victor of the wrongly signed scorecard with Roberto DiVincenza, whose playing partner was Tommy Aaron.
Who is not related to Hank.
No, although Hank's brother's also named
Tommy. Yeah, that's true.
That's correct.
Yeah. All right, finally, Jeff, we'll wrap up the 5-5, some college football. New coaches, especially now with this uncertain time of, you know, how are, you know, the teams managing, you know, keeping things together here in the offseason, maybe trying to do stuff remotely as best as you possibly can. But which coaches, because of it all, the new ones in new places, going to have their hands full the most this upcoming season?
I would think for a lot of reasons it's got to be Arkansas.
And Sam Pittman?
I would think so.
Yeah. Well, number one might be that they – this might be helpful to Sam Pittman, but they've lost 19 straight SEC games. So
how much worse can it get? And they've lost North Texas, Colorado State.
Yeah.
I mean, they got bludgeoned by Western Kentucky. I mean, how much? That's literally what. Always be careful on anything, but we're going to keep this to sports here. You know, it's like, oh, how much worse can it get? I'm like, usually, be careful. It can get worse. But in Arkansas's case, I mean, it really can. That had to be the absolute low moment when they get just housed by Western Kentucky with a former Arkansas quarterback playing quarterback for Western Kentucky.
Yeah, and I guess that ended up being young Chad Morris's final final game. So
now how many claret jugs does he have?
I don't think he doesn't have any. In fact, I guess he doesn't even have an SEC win. So
no, he's got a long losing streak there.
Yeah,
young Chad Morris.
Because I believe their last SEC win was they beat Ole Miss in 2017 because they didn't win. So they went 1-7 that year, and then they went and then they've been 0-8 and 0-8.
Ooh, just those offers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a build right there.
Yeah, because they beat Ole Miss, and then they lost their final three games that season, and then they're 0-8. So that's 19 straight SEC games they've lost.
I really think out of the new coaches in the league, I think Leach is the best fit. And, again, he's won at similar outposts when you're talking about Lubbock, when you're talking about Pullman, and now being in Starkville. Now, I don't see him getting an SEC championship game, but he's going to get them to the point where they're scaring some teams and they're pulling off an upset. I'm like, golly, when we catch them in 2021, he'll have it up and going. Thing is, Mississippi State's always going to get good players. You know, the thing with them is they might not have that high-end elite like LSU and Alabama's got, and they might not have the depth. But they're going to have a lot of good players, and you got to figure he's going to get a good quarterback there. I mean, there's going to be somebody. He might not be the ultimate five-star, but there's going to be a guy in Mississippi or Memphis who says, oh, my, I can go there and throw the ball 60 times a game. Sign me up.
Well, I mean, KJ Costello had good numbers, mm-hmm. passing numbers at Stanford. So I think he's already got one at least for this upcoming season with Costello. And yeah, I mean, talking about Leach being able to step up there and pick someone out, they lost Oregon last year by 2 points, and that they had beaten them 4 years in a row
right
leading up to that. So he was not only beating them straight up, but he was I believe he was undefeated ATS against them.
ATS.
In Wazoo. So, you know, you're looking at something similar there. It'd be like, can you imagine a world where Mississippi State covers every year against LSU?
Oh, we've never been in that world.
No, we have not.
But it's a changing world, so who knows?
Yeah. Speaking of that, I saw somebody on the World Wide Web produced a bracket of bad beats.
Oh, yeah. We got to hit that.
And I was rolling through to see how many of these I was on, and I was on two of the number one seeds, which was Super Bowl 51, Falcons and Pats.
Yeah.
And the 2012 Belk Bowl.
That's still got to be the worst ever.
Yeah, that's the champion. That's one of the one seeds.
It was Cincinnati. And the thing, too, with the Falcons and Patriots, it was at least it's the New England Patriots. And what I'd always said to try and console some of my Falcons friends was, all right, when it was 28-3, I get it. If this would have been in October, it's a rout, it's over. I mean, you knew New England was going to come back. Yeah, I didn't think they were going to win. But, you know, you figure like, all right, New England's going to at least come back, maybe like 28-17, 28-20. But, but then the fact that Atlanta was plus 4.5 and lost by 6, trailing only on the last play of the game.
That was also the Super Bowl. I had a little 4-team parlay of prop bets mixed in there, and I had hit 3 of the 4, and all I needed was the game not to go to overtime.
Well, it had never happened in history in 50 previous Super Bowls, so what are the odds?
Well, the odds are when one team's leading at 28-3,
it ain't gonna happen this year.
Yeah, midway through the third quarter, you think you've got that thing sewn up, but
you know what? That's why they don't play them on paper, my man.
No, they don't. I heard they do play games on paper. Oh, wait, maybe they don't.
There are games on paper, but the ones not on paper, a lot more fun.
All right.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.